Looking at the stack of articles and technical briefs we have today, I had this sort of terrifying thought. If you're a homeowner in Central Florida and you want wood floors, you are essentially trying to install a forest product inside of a swamp.
It is a bold move, for sure. The sources we looked at call it a moisture sandwich.
A moisture sandwich,
Yeah,
right?
you got all that humidity in the air pushing down, and then, because we build on concrete slabs, you have vapor pressure coming up from the ground.
Which brings us to the mission for this deep dive. We really want to explain why, in this climate, the word engineered isn't a bad thing.
No, it's a structural necessity.
Exactly. And we're going to figure out the difference between what makes a forever floor and one that's just going to, fall apart in a few years.
And that all starts with physics.
Yeah.
It really does. You have to respect that wood is hygroscopic.
Hygroscopic.
It just means it acts like a sponge. It's constantly breathing, drinking in, and sweating out moisture to match its environment.
Right, and one of the notes said that a standard 5-inch plank of solid oak is basically a ticking time bomb here in Florida.
It is. Because when that solid plank drinks in all that humidity, it swells, it expands, and has nowhere to go.
So what happens?
You get cupping, where the edges curl up and it looks like a washboard, or worse, buckling.
And buckling is when it actually just rips itself off the floor.
Physically rips itself off the glue and can lift inches into the air. It's a total failure.
Wow. So the solution isn't to stop using wood, but to change its architecture. This is where engineered comes in.
That's it. It isn't fake wood. It's just a smarter chassis. The top layer is real beautiful hardwood, but the core is where the magic is.
The cross-ply architecture.
Exactly. Think of thin layers of something stable, like birch or eucalyptus, all glued together at 90-degree angles. It's a structural tug of war.
So if the top layer wants to expand left to right, the layer underneath is pulling north to south, and it just locks it in place.
You got it. That constant tension restricts the movement.
Yeah.
It makes the plank up to 700% more stable than a piece of solid wood.
700%. Okay, so that's how you get those really wide planks to survive in Orlando summer.
This is the only way.
But the core is just the engine, right?
Yeah.
I want to talk about the part we actually walk on, the wear layer.
Ah, yes. This is maybe the most important part. And the research showed a huge quality gap depending on how that layer is cut from the log.
Dry sawn versus rotary peeled.
Right. And if you care about how your floor looks, you really want sawn. It's cut straight from the log, like lumber. The grain looks natural, it looks authentic.
As opposed to rotary peeled, which one source compared to unrolling a paper towel roll?
That is the perfect analogy. They spin the log on a machine and just peel off a continuous sheet. That's very efficient, very cheap.
But
But you get this weird, repetitive, almost chaotic grain that just screams plywood. And because it was peeled under tension, it always wants to curl back up, which can lead to tiny hairline cracks.
okay, so dry sawn is the way to go. What about thickness? The consensus seemed to be that if the wear layer is under 2 millimeters, you're buying a disposable floor.
It's a one-and-done floor. You can't sand it. You get one deep scratch from, dragging a chair, and you're looking at the plywood core. It's a resale value killer.
But if you step up to 4 or even 6 millimeters,
Now you're talking heirloom quality. You can refinish that floor 3, maybe 4, even 5 times. That's an 80-year floor. That's a forever floor.
though for most people, the data suggested the real sweet spot for value is right around 3 millimeters.
I agree completely. You get the durability, you can refinish it at least once, but you're not paying that top-tier premium for a 6 mil layer.
Okay, but even the best plank in the world can fail if you mess up the installation, right? The Florida factor.
Absolutely. And we have to talk about the acclimation myth.
I see this all the time. People drop the boxes of wood off in a house that's still under construction. No AC, it's 95 degrees inside.
And they think they're acclimating it. What they're actually doing is ruining it. The wood is acclimating to a sauna.
So what's the right way?
The HVAC system needs to be running, holding the house at normal living conditions, say 74 degrees, controlled humidity, for at least 5 days before the wood even comes inside.
And for attaching it to the concrete, the sources were pretty tough on floating floors.
Yeah, floating floors where the planks just click together, they tend to sound hollow. They just sound, well, cheap.
So the gold standard is a full glue down installation.
A full glue down, but not with just any glue. This was a key point. The glue itself is part of your moisture defense.
It's not just sticky stuff.
No, you need to use a high-end urethane or polymer adhesive. Brands like Bostik or Wacol, they do two things. They hold the wood down and they cure into a rubberized membrane that blocks vapor from the concrete slab. It protects the wood from below.
Okay, so building the ultimate Florida checklist.
Yeah.
You want a dry sawnware layer, at least 3 millimeters thick, a cross-ply core, glued down with a real moisture barrier adhesive. What about the species of wood itself?
Hickory and white oak are your best friends. They're hard, and their grain patterns are great at hiding, you know, the sand your kids track in. Just avoid walnut. It's beautiful, but it's way too soft for an active Florida home.
Good to know. And before we wrap, there was one last warning that I thought was critical, specifically for the snowbirds.
This is so important. If you leave for the summer and you turn your AC off to save a few bucks on the electric bill,
you come back to a disaster.
You'll come back to a disaster. Indoor humidity will spike to 80, maybe 90%. Mm. Your floor will drink all of that water and it will buckle. I guarantee it.
It's a really terrifying thought to end on, but it makes so much sense. It kind of implies that your wood floors are, in a way, a living organism in your house.
They are. They're always breathing.
Which leaves you with one final question, I think. If your floors are alive, is your home's HVAC system actually good enough to keep them on life support?
Thanks for listening to this deep dive.